Assalamu alaikum everyone and welcome back to Vortex of Truth. My name is Namath Robaby and I'm delighted to have you join me on this Friday afternoon. Vortex of Truth is a show where we use fiction as a tool to spark empathy and create questions in the minds of our listeners as to what they themselves would do were they in the situations that our characters find themselves in. We also cover stories that should serve as mild warnings or help to explain and allow listeners to understand the struggles that others go through. Today, we're looking at another social ill, one which has even been called a disease, lying. Lying is something that many fables and children's stories have focused on in an attempt to teach children the dangers that come with repeating or creating lies. And in Islam, truthfulness is emphasized, and therefore parents and caregivers will admonish children who lie. Children are cautioned about the boy who cried wolf and told that if they continue lying, no one will believe them when they're trying to tell the truth. There are even movies centered around the theme of lying. It's clear that as a society, we despise dishonesty and are firmly against any kind of lying. Or are we? I'm sure you've heard of the concept of a white lie. Let's look at some definitions. A lie is a statement that is believed to be false, said with the intention of deceiving someone. A white lie is a type of lie defined as a harmless or trivial lie. Now, I'm sure if I asked you, you'd be able to tell me the last major lie you told. You might be reluctant to tell me what it is, but you will remember it. But can you recall the last time you told a white lie? Can you guess how many white lies you've told in your life? It's a very stressful thought. We may tell lies with good intentions, but those lies don't become truth simply because we have good intentions. More importantly, you might classify a lie as a white lie, something that you said in order to spare someone's feelings, or because the truth doesn't really matter in that situation, and no one will ever find out that you're manipulating the truth. But where do you draw the line? And are you the one who gets to decide whether the lies that you've told are mindless and trivial or harmful and destructive? And lastly, how do you distinguish the truth when you're focusing on keeping up a deception so that the person that you're deceiving doesn't realize that you haven't been truthful? How do you make sure that you aren't lying to yourself? The problem with lying, with even small little white lies that are designed to not hurt people's feelings, is that lies multiply. You tell one lie to soothe feelings, and then you're made to tell another to confirm that first lie, and then you might need to tell a third lie to smooth over the holes in the second lie, and it snowballs from there. You might be disagreeing, thinking to yourself, well, I don't do that. My lies, what little of them there are in the world, are always done with the purest of intentions. My lies fall into the exceptions. Are you sure about that, though? Today's sketch is called Sparing Feelings. We'll be examining all the different kinds of lies that you can come across in daily life. Let's dive into it. Here we go. Lying is sin. People who lie have a bad character. Liars are depicted in stories as dark and menacing, and the truthful people shine with radiance. No one in the stories ever learned about how to lie with their appearance or body language, it seems. In real life, in the world that lies are truly told in, where there's no plot device or author frantically typing to make a comparison between good and bad, or to show the power of forgiveness by turning their dark and dreary liars into smiling, bright, reformed, good girls and guys, things are different. Liars are not dark and sneering. Liars don't have an aura of badness over their heads. Liars often don't look sad or angry, because lies make life easier, and liars in real life have learned to lie with more than just the words they say. Smiles, body language, and yes, words. All of these are employed to perfection to rewrite the facts and present a basic reality that looks or feels a little better for the liar. Lies are abundant in this world, juggling with one another and smoothing over the cracks in history. A very special type of lie, the white lie, is a lie that we use as social lubricant. White lies aren't even really lies anymore. They're fibs. They're white, like the bright and radiant good people that live in the pages of children's stories. They're not dark and angry like bad people, so how could they really be that bad? This kind of a justification is how people go about using the social lubricant of lies to make their lives easier without feeling a twinge of their conscience every time they open their mouths and speak something other than the truth. White lies are so forgivable that sometimes it's the people who don't tell them who are considered to be in the wrong. You hear things like, just fib, smooth things over, don't be overly blunt, learn how to balance tact and truth. We've got so many different ways to hint at this particular act, so many euphemisms to take away even the word lie, to separate the so-called commonly used tactic from actually lying. This is different. This is better. This is not so bad. Children, young children that is, don't understand the concept of a white lie. Children don't really understand the concept of a lie at all. Perhaps that's why children are lied to so much more than any other demographic of the population. Because it's easy to lie to children. And it's a lot less headache to tell a harmless lie rather than to try and make a child understand anything complicated. Lie to them so that they're no longer incessantly asking questions. It'll work out easier. But of course, we must teach children to be truthful, because children aren't meant to be lying to adults. Oh no. Children must be truthful so that when they make mistakes and messes, the adults don't have to go unraveling the little web of lies that the child has created in order to save themselves from being punished. Children need disciplining, after all, and it's a parent's responsibility to discipline a child. Therefore, to make it easier for the parent, teach the child not to lie. That's not what parents think, by the way. They think that by teaching their children to be honest, what they're doing is ensuring that those children grow up with morals and values. My parents thought the exact same thing. My parents were lying to themselves and to me. You might think that I'm being disrespectful or rude, but that actually is the truth. When I was a gullible kid, I believed them when they said that lying was a bad thing, and that it's a sin, and that that was why they were teaching me not to do it. It might be a sin. It might be a bad thing. But my parents were trying to make their own lives easier. You'll never convince me otherwise. If they actually meant to teach a moral, they wouldn't have gotten mad every time I told the truth and it went against what they wanted people to know. Looking back now, I actually want to laugh at how often and easily I'd land my parents in a situation. They were never careful about what they said in front of me and to me, and as a kid, I was a sponge. My parents also had the bad habit of trying to prompt me to speak to other people when I wanted to be quiet. And of course, I'd do what they told me to, and they'd get mad. My favorite memory of this is being around 6 years old. We'd gone to visit my mother's least favorite older sister, and my mother was trying to show me off and suck up to her sister at the same time. She asked me to tell my aunt what my parents had been saying about this very same aunt while we were at home. My mother had weird ideas about what was impressive at this time in my life. She thought that me being able to act like a parrot and recall what they were thinking was cool. 6-year-old me was very happy to tell my aunt that my mother called her stingy and lazy, and that my father complained about how bad her cooking was. The resulting fireworks must have been hilarious to watch. But sadly, all that I remember was being really confused that my mother was lying to her sister and repeating over and over again that I was making up stories for attention. Later, at home, I got yelled at, and my mother explained to me that saying something nice to make a person feel better was not lying. My 6-year-old brain attempted to try this out by telling my mother a very pretty lie about how well my teacher thought I was doing in school when she was having a bad day. This was not the right thing to do, and I got myself in a heap of trouble. When I explained that I was just trying to make my mother feel better, I got a new explanation. Lying about school, for whatever reason, was bad. The next time my definition of lying was challenged was when I was 11. My parents wanted to go overseas, but I had exams to write, and so a letter about a family emergency of some sort was forged. I was pulled out of school in the middle of the day, and off we went to Egypt for a fun-filled family vacation. My parents did remember to tell me not to talk about the vacation at school, but when I got back, my teacher asked us all about what we'd done while school was closed. And at this point in life, someone or the other had also told me that it was rude to not answer questions. And so I did answer. I told my class all about going to Egypt and petting camels, and I got my parents into trouble. They were called into school for a meeting. Now, by this time, I was old enough to realize that I'd done something wrong, but I didn't know what. I wasn't allowed to lie about school, and I wasn't allowed to not answer my teacher's questions. So what was I meant to do in that situation? According to my parents, not what I had done. That night, I learned that it was all right to lie to make sure that my parents weren't embarrassed. I wasn't allowed to lie to save myself from embarrassment, though. Then, when I was 13, girls came into the picture. It only took me apparently being inappropriate with one female cousin for my father to decide that he needed to loudly explain that telling a girl that, yes, I didn't like her when she asked was a problem. I didn't see why. The girl had asked, and I wasn't at school. And plus, I wasn't saving myself from embarrassment. And all those years ago, when I was a kid, my mother had yelled at me for not lying to this particular cousin's mother. My parents, clearly now tired of attempting to teach me what kinds of lies were acceptable and what kinds of lies were not, refined things. I was not allowed to lie to teachers and the principal, or to my parents. Everyone else was fair game. When I asked why it wasn't a sin to lie to other people and was a sin to lie to my parents, I was told to shut up and go play. And so I did. And right there and then, I began to lie. I apologized to the cousin and told her I'd made a mistake. She was happy. 6 years later, when my aunt tried to set the two of us up as a cute, easy in the family marriage, I would deeply regret this particular lie. And now, I'm not a child anymore. I understand what my parents were trying to get across when they were teaching me about lying. At the core of it, lying is bad. Little lies, though, lies that don't have a big effect on life, are all right. But here's my problem with this. How do you know that the lie you're telling isn't going to have a big impact? Heck, when I told my cousin that I liked her, that came back to bite me half a decade later. I can't just not lie, because then I'm just as rude. I just can't lie too much, because then I'm a rat, an untrustworthy rat. There's sort of middle ground that you have to walk on, so that you're not too far to either side. Or, and this is a lot easier, just don't get caught. Getting caught in a lie is always a bad thing. But when people don't know that the rubbish you're spouting off to them isn't true, they're almost always happy to hear it. And it's a lot easier to lie than it is to tell the truth and face the consequences. That might be morally bad, but it is what people want. They say otherwise, but their actions tell the real truth. People want you to lie to them so well that they never uncover the lies and can live in their blissful ignorance. Why else would we even have started lying in the first place? What was the point of my mother telling me to suck up to my aunt? To make my aunt happy and think that my parents liked her? To make my mother happy because my aunt would like my parents better? That lie wasn't told to benefit my aunt. It was to benefit my mother. It backfired spectacularly, by the way. My mother and my aunt still hate one another, even though they act like they're the best of friends. The reason that I'm not married to my cousin is that my mother still holds a grudge about whatever my aunt said to her when I was a kid. Let's keep going. What was the point of lying to my school so that my parents could yank me out early and take advantage of cheaper rates for hotels and flights? It didn't help anyone except my parents' bank accounts. Plus, I had to write all those exams when I got back to school anyway, so I sure didn't benefit. All I had in my brain was mummies and oases when I was meant to be writing, among others, an exam on science. That really didn't help me at all. Like I said, my parents taught me to not lie, and then they changed their minds, to make their own lives easier. Whatever morals and religion have to say about it, honesty is only the best policy when it doesn't complicate life for us. Which is fine, because now I don't have my parents breathing down my neck, and now I get to lie to make my own life better. My parents think I still don't lie to them because I've gotten better at it, or because they're now lying to themselves about how well they parented me. Funnily enough, they told my kid brother nothing about lying one way or another. And that kid has somehow learned to be completely honest about everything. I told them it was a bad idea to let a TV entertain him, even if that TV was blaring lectures from various Milanas all day. But neither of them would listen. They lied to themselves and told themselves that they were teaching my brother something really, really good by having him listen to lectures all day. But now, I've got an overly preachy younger brother to deal with, and they have to smooth over every single time he offends someone in our family. He doesn't get why, when our parents told me over and over again that lying would send me to hell, that I still do it. But when I reminded him that the parents lie all the time, he just started going on about rising above and doing better than everyone else, even if everyone else is our parents. He's really annoying, especially because he will not let anything go. And he can always tell when he's being lied to. He's got a lot of practice, and everyone lies to him so that he won't start lecturing. But anyway, that's a story for another time. Do you get what I'm saying, though? My parents only ever taught me to be honest because it was useful for them that I be honest. When it stopped being useful, they kept coming up with exceptions to make their lives easier. You're allowed to lie when it makes people feel better. You're allowed to lie when it makes mom and dad's lives easier. You're allowed to lie when people will get offended if you tell them the truth. And you're allowed to lie about anything, eventually, because they were tired of trying to find an easy way to make a rule that made their lives easier. If they just told me that yes, lying is bad, and we're doing a bad thing because it's easier, maybe I'd still feel bad about lying. Maybe I'd still try to be truthful whenever I can. I've got a weird relationship with lying. Like I've been saying, it's social lubricant. It makes our lives easier, and it's easy as heck when you figure out how to do it right. As long as you don't suddenly stop lying, you're kind of golden. People think you're nice, and you get treated better. Now, I'm not a complete demon. I won't lie about things that would get somebody killed. I don't steal, and I didn't cheat in school or at university. I'd sometimes tell the professor that my laptop stopped working, or that I had to put in an assignment when it looked like I didn't, to give myself some breathing room, but that's not really bad. It's lubricant, remember? It's meant to make things easier, and that's what it does. It isn't hurting anybody to tell a little lie about software, after all. By the way, if you're judging me in your head, I don't mind. It's just human nature. You can't help it. Yeah, that was a lie. See how it made you feel better? If I hadn't admitted to it, you'd have thought that I was a nicer person. You'd have moved on with your day. Now that I've told the truth, you're offended. And I bet you're trying to justify judging me somehow, even while I'm talking to you. No? Are you sure? Be careful. If you lie to me, you'll turn into a hypocrite. Relax. It's really not a big deal. You probably can't help that you're judging me. Probably, even if you try not to, you'll do it anyway. Maybe your brain might even explode if you try to see things from my perspective. But I'm not wrong. Lying makes people feel better. Whether they should be feeling better or if it's good to lie to them all day is not my problem. My problem is making my own life better. And if a little bit of dishonesty helps that, then I'm going to go with it. I'm not a saint, and trying to do the right thing never helped me that I've been able to recall. All right, we're going to be taking our first break for today, inshallah, and we hope that you join us again when we return in a few minutes. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Vortex of Truth. We just took our first break for today's program, and now we're back. Today's show is talking about the social ill of lying. It's something that many fables and children's stories have focused on in an attempt to teach children the dangers that come with lying. We mentioned that in Islam, truthfulness is very emphasized, and therefore parents and caregivers will try to teach their children that lying is something that's sinful and should be avoided. But we also know that white lies are being treated very differently by most people. We define lying as a statement that's believed to be false, which is said with the intention of deceiving someone. But then we define a white lie as a type of lie that's harmless or trivial. for the past half an hour, we've been discussing whether or not you can really consider any kind of lie to be trivial by going through the first half of our sketch called Sparing Feelings. We're going to recap what we just finished before we went on the break, and then we'll continue the sketch. Here we go. All right. So, careful, if you lie to me, you'll turn into a hypocrite. It's really not a big deal. You probably can't help that you're judging me. Probably, even if you try not to, you'll do it anyway. Maybe your brain might even explode if you try to get yourself to see things from my perspective. But I'm not wrong. Lying makes people feel better, whether they should be feeling better or if it's good to lie to them all day is not my problem. My problem is making my own life better. And if a little bit of dishonesty helps that, then I'm going to go with it. I'm not a saint, and trying to do the right thing never helped me that I've been able to recall. Going halfway and only lying when it makes my parents' lives or my cousin's lives or the random dude on the street's life better isn't going to make me morally superior. And I already tried being completely honest. It didn't work out well for me. I got the reputation of being the weird, hopeless kid whose parents needed to be pitied. And now I'm the normal guy with the holy brother, and that works out a heck of a lot better for me. But hey, I never actually answered the question, did I? What was it? Oh yeah, what do I think about lying? I think that lying is addictive. I think that once you start and you see how much better it makes your life, you won't want to stop. I think that you can never lie selflessly just to make someone else feel better. I think that it's all or nothing. Either you don't lie and you're an honest person, or you do lie and you're not an honest person. Just a dishonest person is not manipulating the truth as much as you could. That's what I think. The very first time my mother told me some kinds of lies were allowed, she told me that we were sparing my aunt's feelings. I still remember her telling me that. That's why I don't feel all that bad about lying, even now. You see, every lie that I tell has spared someone's feelings. Mine. Now, don't come and tell me that that doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. If it did, if any of this did, it'd be the truth, not a pack of lies. And that's the end of the sketch. A very different sketch today, touching on a topic that I'm sure has everyone very divided in opinion. Just to recap, our protagonist is an individual who does lie and engages in the process of social lubricant. But unlike most people who tell minor lies, this person believes that there's no scale or degree. The world is filled with only honest and only dishonest people. And there's no real gray area in this person's mind. They believe that it's impossible to lie without benefiting yourself, and so there's no such thing as a harmless lie, because the individual always benefits from it. The sketch covered some examples of common lies, the lies we tell to get ourselves out of trouble, the lies we tell to make people think better of us, the lies we tell to get ourselves out of uncomfortable situations when people are asking for our opinions on issues, and finally, the lies that we tell to ourselves. I think that this last category is probably the most dangerous. If you've been lying for such a long time that you can't differentiate between what is truth and what you've imagined, then you've clearly lost sight of reality, and you might no longer be able to see yourself at all clearly. There's an expression, believing your own press. If you've gotten to a stage where you cannot remember the little faults that you're trying to conceal about yourself, then how do you hold yourself accountable for them instead of just forgetting their existence entirely? How do you repent? The greatest danger to me is that a liar becomes lost in a world that changes to suit their whims. Yesterday's friend becomes today's enemy with just a few words changed in the record of the past. I'm not an entirely honest person like the ideal that's mentioned in the sketch, and may Allah forgive me for that. But I do think that if, when you find yourself being anything other than truthful, you feel uncomfortable about telling that lie, it's a sign that your conscience is still in effect. You should listen to it, and may Allah listen to mine as well, inshallah. it might be easier to tell little lies, but when those lies become habit, it gets easier to justify them. And it gets easier to justify it when that habit becomes a big habit. And worse, you might completely forget that the foundation you've built your life on is made up of little lies that just grew and grew and grew. May Allah forgive us for our shortcomings and errors and help us to improve. Ameen. Now let's go back. Lying to yourself is the most dangerous, yes. But lying to other people is also quite dangerous. You might think that by telling a very little lie, you're just helping maintain ties of kinship, or you're helping to improve someone else's day. But surely there are ways to do that without being dishonest. You could be truthful. For example, if you take one person's side against the others, and then when you sleep with the second person involved in a dispute, you take that person's side instead, just because you're telling each what they want to hear, then you could almost say that you're sowing the seeds to make this disagreement keep growing, rather than telling each individual that you don't want to be involved, or trying to repair the divide between them. It's really quite sad to say that nowadays, because we're so afraid of telling the truth, or because we're so afraid of not just telling the truth, but rather speaking up if we think that there's going to be backlash, we instead just decide to smooth over any hurt feelings and just live in that middle ground of not telling the truth entirely, but also not lying to such an extent. And I think that that's also quite dangerous. It might not be outright lying for your own benefit, but you're not saying anything meaningful in that instance. We're told that saying meaningful things is important, and we should rather be silent than say meaningless things. But how many of us really adhere to that principle? All right, let's go back to the second lie that our protagonist was meant to tell, or rather the protagonist's parents told. That was the lie that was to go on holiday instead of writing exams. I wonder how many of us have children who we've pulled out of school at the end of the term, or not necessarily while they're writing exams, but after all of the real work was done at school. How many of us were people who were pulled out by our parents because going for Umrah was more important than staying in school? No one's disregarding the fact that going for Umrah is incredibly important, but is it really necessary to start that holy journey with a lie? There are reasons for children being kept in school for a certain amount of time, for them to get through their syllabus and everything like that. But even if you disregard that requirement, is it really that difficult to just go to a school and tell them that you're taking your child out a few days early because you want to prioritize their religious education? Surely that would be setting good precedent when you want to continue to prioritize a child's Islamic education rather than just lying and possibly teaching the child the wrong principle when you're interacting with their teachers, because your child will also have to then keep up with your lie. Alright, we are going to go for our second break for today, and then we'll be back to wrap up, to discuss this final two lies, and just impart a bit of knowledge about the sketch entirely, inshallah. We hope that you join us when we come back in a few minutes. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome back to Vortex of Truth. We've just taken our second break for today's program, and we're in our last segment, our wrap-up of the show. So, today's show has been discussing lying through a sketch called Sparing Feelings. There's a very particular reason for that title, because even the most staunch of us, in terms of not lying for our own benefit, will still lie to spare someone's feelings. But if we examine that, how often do we lie more because we're afraid of what people will think of us if we're honest and not too complimentary? That's something to think about. Just to recap, In our sketch, I think the most pertinent bit of the sketch was when our protagonist was asked a question, what do I think about lying? And the response was, I think lying is addictive. I think that once you start and you see how much better it makes your life, you won't want to stop. I think that you can never lie selflessly just to make someone else feel better. I think it's all or nothing. Either you don't lie and you're an honest person, or you do lie and you're not an honest person, just a dishonest one who's not manipulating the truth as much as you could. That's what I think. The very first time my mother told me some kinds of lies were allowed, she told me that we were sparing my aunt's feelings. I still remember her telling me that. That's why I don't feel all that bad about lying even now. You see, every lie I tell has spared someone's feelings. Mine. The protagonist is clearly exaggerating quite a lot. But it is important to think about whether or not when we tell a lie and we tell ourselves that we're lying to spare someone's feelings, how much of that is us trying to spare ourselves from a bit of discomfort by telling the truth? All right, in the second segment, we discussed lying to yourself, which I would think is the most dangerous category, simply because if you are lying to yourself, then you can't differentiate between what is truth and what you've imagined. You can't repent for the faults that you're trying to cover up by lying. And the greatest danger of lying to yourself is that a liar becomes lost in a world that changes to suit their whims. None of us are completely honest, of course. We're all human beings. We all err. We're all fallible. But if you want to try and stop lying so much, the first thing to look for is, when are you uncomfortable with what you're saying? When do you feel almost a voice in the back of your head saying, you know what, that's not right. That's not true. Why are you saying this? Or you feel a bit of discomfort in your stomach, or you feel something making you breathe heavily. If you feel that you're uncomfortable with what you're saying, then perhaps examine exactly what it is that's coming out of your mouth. I think that perhaps these days we don't really think that much before we speak, and we've grown into a culture of people who have to have an opinion on every single topic. If you don't have an opinion, you're considered quite out of touch. And to tell the truth, it's very much more respectable to say, I don't know enough to form an opinion, rather than to just scramble and try to cobble an opinion together at the last minute because you don't want to seem uncultured or out of touch. All right, let's get back to the type of lies that we were talking about. The third type of lie that we examined in the sketch was the very first one, the lie to get out of trouble. How often do we do that, really? How often do we say, instead of, okay, I woke up late, we say, there's a lot of traffic on the road. Instead of saying, you know, I was really procrastinating and didn't get my assignment done on time, we say, you know, I really, really tried, but I couldn't make it. Sometimes lying is just by omitting the truth and attempting to use the incomplete truth to represent a different picture than what actually happened. And you might not think that is lying, but in truth it is. You're trying to manipulate what actually happened, or trying to manipulate the way that you relate what's happened in order to give yourself a better outcome. Why do we do that? To make our own lives easier. But is it really worthwhile in the end? The last lie, and one of the ones that relates to lying to yourself, is lying to get other people to think better of us. You'd think that social media is the greatest place where we do this, where we filter images and we pick and choose exactly what of our life we're going to share, but it happens in real life as well. How many times have you, instead of speaking about everything that's going on, rather chosen to inflate an achievement? Rather than saying, you know, we didn't actually do that well at school. We focus on the one good mark or the one A, and we very conspicuously choose to not speak about the rest of it. Now, we're not saying that you should be belaboring your faults all the time. You should be speaking about them to the extent that you don't speak about anything else. But we very carefully choose to show and hide such parts of the truth. And I think that perhaps there's a great danger in that, because we then say these little white lies, you know, oh, I've done, instead of saying, I met a couple of people and we formed a group. You say, I'm sitting on the chair of this group, something like that. And that really just leads to feeding one's natural arrogance and causing it to grow, to me. Unfortunately, our society has become very driven by achievement. It's all about what you can put on a CV, or what you can tell other people about what your child has done, or what you yourself can hang up on the walls of your office. What degrees, what awards, what forms of praise can you show that will help your credibility? Again, there are lots of different types of lying. The problem, not with the big lies that we all know are bad, is that we've normalized the little white lie, and that lie, that white lie, is no longer quite so little. We've allowed greater lies to slip under the radar as white lies because it helps us to just excuse them. It helps us to say, that's not really such a bad lie. And we allow ourselves to justify by saying, if I told the truth, somebody would be angry with me. Or if I told the truth, it would rock the boat. If I told the truth, it would lead to all sorts of terrible things. But in the end, we don't choose, we're not allowed to choose whether or not we tell the truth based on how uncomfortable it would make us. We must tell the truth in order to be following what a son tells us. We can't take the easy way out. Anyway, let's start to wrap up. We're almost at the end of the show. Okay, so first things first. We call white lies trivial and harmless lies, but in truth, it's almost impossible to tell a lie that's completely harmless. If you're choosing to tell that lie, you have a reason for not telling the truth. You have a reason for covering that up. And so it's not harmless. It has some sort of effect. Next, by telling lies, we not only impact ourselves, we impact the people around us, and we teach certain behaviors and lessons to our children. If you find yourself slipping into white lies very, very often, and then you see your children lying to you, perhaps consider that they might be learning something that you don't want them to from you. It's better to tell the truth, or to not justify the lies that you're telling. After all, we're all human beings. We make errors. If you lie, don't try and excuse it with, it's not such a big lie, or it's for a good reason. Admit the fact that you're telling a lie, and it's a bad thing, and then attempt to remedy the situation. And then lastly, the lie that we all need to be most careful about, or the type of lie that we need to be most careful about, is lying to ourselves. Because if you can't be introspective and if you can't examine what you're doing, you can't really improve. If you don't remember that you've done this bad thing because you've committed so far to the lie that you're telling about it that shows you in a better light, how are you ever going to improve the behavior that was so objectionable that you decided you had to lie about it instead of tell the truth? And then lastly, the reason that white lies are such a big problem is because it's very easy to tell a little lie and let that become your habit. And that little habit will very quickly grow into a big habit. And at the end of it all, you could find yourself with a little lie that's running your life almost. May Allah forgive us all for the lies that we tell and help us to be truthful. I mean, that's all we have time for today, unfortunately. But we will be back next Friday, inshallah, with a new sketch and commentary, and we hope that you'll join us then. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you're welcome to get in touch with me, Neemat Rabbi, at theimperfectmuslimablog@gmail.com or under the handles theimperfectmuslima or Neemat Rabbi on all forms of social media. We hope that you have a lovely day further, and do let us know if there's anything that's worrying you about the program. Assalamu alaikum.